to both say good morning. Let's begin. Actually, the Mishnah. I know you did the Mishnah yesterday, but let's. Today's daf is Kuf, but let's just begin from the last couple of lines. Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Ilan Shaya Mesach Halar. So we'll say just if you do have the picture books, today is a good day to use them. As a lot of pictures. Says the Mishnah. Ilan Shaya Mesach Ala Aretz. If you have a tree whose branches hang down to the ground. If the branches are within three tefachim of the ground, the way it's literally phrased is, if the branches are not taller than three tefachim of the ground, which is another way of saying that the branches reach to within three tefachim of the ground, in essence, what the branches create is an enclosure, an enclosed area. And because of that, you are permitted to go ahead and carry underneath the enclosed air. So we'll say, if you have the picture books, this is picture. You can tell we're coming to the end of the Masechta because there's only like another page of pictures left. Then the rest is connected dots. But so take a look.
I thought that was good.
Tough crowd. All right. Good morning, everyone. Okay. This is picture 352. 352. So you can see, again, this one is kind of simple over here. Just it's a tree with a lot of branches that hang low. Right, so the idea is that therefore it becomes an enclosed area underneath and you can carry. So says the Mishnah, if the roots extend out of the ground three tefachim, lo yeshev aleihem, and one is not permitted to go ahead and sit on the roots. And the logic behind that Rashi points out is because when the roots extend from the ground, then the roots themselves have the status of a tree. And as we'll see in this Gemara, one is not permitted to make use of a tree on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Rav Huna said the name of Rav Yoshua. A metaltalin bo yesar mi base sasayim. So Rav Huna Rav Yoshua says that the enclosed area by the trees is limited to an area of two base sa'ah. Why? Top of kuf. Mishum dahave dira shetashmisha la'adir. Because Rav say, interestingly enough, literally translated, because the area underneath the tree is not primarily enclosed for its inside area, rather for its outside area. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Mishum David Dir Shitashmish La Abir. Ain't a ladder about Tamin. I'll say obviously this area underneath the trees is not there as a permanent dwelling space. So I'll say often why do people have trees or even intentionally plant trees like this? Because the people, whether it's the shepherds or the people out in the field, it was a wonderful shady area. So because it's not created really as a primary domicile, but simply as a place for people to go for relief when they are outside in the field. Therefore, by definition, any enclosure that is not primarily made for dwelling purposes inside, but is made to service the people on the outside, that any area that's an enclosure not for primary dwelling purposes is kept at two beisah. And remember, as we saw before, if the roots are taller than three tefachim, it's marked. Shrashe ilan haboin milamala mishlosha litok shlosha. It was an interesting case. Let's say you have tree roots that are above three tefachim, and then what? Ilan milamala mishlosha tefachim litok shlosha tefachim. So, if you can imagine, you have over here, you can see this is picture 353. So, essentially, what's happening over here is the root extends from the ground. Goes above three tefachim and then dips back into three tefachim. Mm-hmm. So we'll say the part that's obviously above three tefachim we know is going to be aser, right? Because again, remember that once the root is taller than three tefachim, that root has its own independent identity as a tree. Now the Gemara will get into what the issue with being a tree. We can't use trees on Shabbos. We'll talk about why that is later on. I'll tell you now. We don't use trees on Shabbos. It's not eser daras. It's eser darabanan. And I have a concern that what one may come to break off a branch. Now breaking off a branch would be an Isr da'oraisa of kotzer, of reaping or harvesting. Anytime that your oker davar mimokum gidulo, you uproot something from where it grows, by definition that's a malacha da'oraisa. So therefore, again, any part of a branch that extends higher than three, by definition, ultimately it has its own status of trees. Now the shayla is the root goes up above three and dips back down. The part above three we know is aser. What about the part that dips back down below three? What's the status of that particular area? So, or that particular part of the root. So the Gemara says, Rabba over Amar Mutter. Rabba says you can use it. Lishtamish Bohen. Rav Sheshes Amar also Lishtamish Bohen. So Machlokis Rabba and Rav Sheshes. Rabba Amar Mutter Lishtamish Bohen. The Chopachos Migimul Da'ara. Arihi. Rabba says you can use it. Why? Because Lamaisa, anything that is within three tefachim of the ground has the status of what? The ground itself, and therefore you can use it. Rav Sheshes Amar Asur Lishtamish, but Rav Sheshes says you can't use it. Why? Techevan Dinikoach Isir Ka'asi, because since where does this bottom part of the branch come from? Above. It's an extension from the part that's Asur above. Asurin Ka'asi, Asurin Asurin. So therefore, Rav Sheshes' approach is since the part that extends within three emanates from a section that's above three, therefore, by definition, it's considered an extension of the part above three, and therefore it's Asr. So we'll say, just keep in mind this machlokes, Rav Rabba and Rav Sheshes. Again, Rabba will say that it's mutter, because essentially what Rabba does is Rabba just looks at where the root itself is. Rabba doesn't look at the root as a whole entire thing. He just looks at the piece that's within three. Rav Sheshes says, no, you can't ignore the fact that the root below three extends from the root above three, and therefore it's Asr. Didamu kimushunisa. What happens if Lamaise, it's like Rabosa Mishunisa, Rashi points over here, is like a mountain. So this is picture, you can see this over here. This is again picture 353, if you have the picture books, the left side of the tree. So you can see over here, Domiki Mishunisa means the root extends upwards, right? And then it has a number of protrusions. I don't know if you call it a shoot, but we'll call it a shoot. A number of root shoots off the primary root. So the Gemara says, Domiki Mishunisa, this salkin the ilasir. Obviously the part that are above three is asir. Dinachtin letasoi sharu. The ones that are below three, and I will say this refers to roots that themselves never extended above three. So the roots that totally extend above three are asir. The roots that are totally within three are mutter. What's the shaila? Letstadin. What happens to the ones, literally, we'll say, that are on the side? So letstadin is what we just said before, which are the roots that are partially above three, but then what? Dip back below three. So in that case, pluta d'rabba v'rav sheshes. That's machlokes haban rav sheshes. V'chein anigra, v'chein bekeren zavis. And the same would be with an anigra, and the same would be in a corner. So we'll say the anigra case is an interesting case. If this is picture 354, if you could imagine for a moment, if you have two pieces of land, and in the middle you have like a little stream that runs through it, and there's a tree growing in the stream itself. So it's an interesting discussion of, let's say now you have roots that come out, where do you measure the base of the tree from? Do you measure the base of the tree from the water, or do you measure the base from the tree from the land that the tree pretty much, now this picture is not totally accurate because Rashi points out over here that lemaisa, the tree does seem to overlap with the ground a little bit more. It doesn't look that way from the picture, but that's what Rashi says. So where do you measure it? So the Gemara just says, same machlokes Rabba and Rav Sheshes. V'chein, Karen Zavis. So we'll say Karen Zavis is the case of a tree that was like, I guess it's a wall that's built into a tree, that's built around the tree, so that the wall covers the tree on three sides. So the shaila again is, where do you consider to be the base of the tree? Do you look at the ground, or do you look at the top of the wall? And of course, the nafkamina will be how you view the branches that extend from the tree. So the Gemara is saying all of these cases are the same machlokas Rabba and Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara goes back to Rahu Dikla, the Havala Abaye, the Havasalk Pi'ipuma. Well, it's an interesting case. Abaye had an indoor palm tree. And what happens, this is picture 355, had an indoor palm tree, and the palm extended up through Abaye's roof. Up through Abaye's roof. Now, we'll say, interestingly enough, the top of the tree was within three tefachim of the roof. So the Asala Kamid Rav Yosef, so he came before Rav Yosef, wanted to know, could he use, what was the status of the tree? The Charlay, Rav Yosef permitted him to go ahead and use the tree on Shabbos. Amar Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, the Shari Lecha, Kirab Shari Lecha. Obviously, the fact that Rav Tachlifa allowed this was in accordance with the position ultimately of Rabba. It was a Rabba. If you take a quick look, at Rashi, the Havasalik Pipume, Besoch HaBayis Ome, the palm tree was in the house, Va'ole Derech Piaruba, Lemala Minagag Pachos Migimel, Vesharile, De Enonira Minagag Gimel Afilu Be'echa Mitzdidav. So Rabba said, again, here the Gemara is really focusing not as much on the tree inside the house, but more in terms of the extension. So because it was within three tefachim of the roof, so he was permitted, so the, who is it? Who did he go to? Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef permitted Abaye to go ahead and, just to make sure I got my names correct over here, yes. Rav Yosef permitted Abaye to go ahead and use the top of this tree because the top of the tree was considered to be within three tefachim of the roof. Then Rav Yosef, obviously the Gemara says, the Shari Lecha, Ki Rabba Shari Lecha, this is in accordance to the position of Rabba. Because what does Rabba say? Rabba says that you view the tree as to where it is right now. So even though you could say the top of the tree, it's really should be connected to the ground on the bottom, but we view it as being connected to the roof. So the Gemara says, Pshita, now the Temor I've said, We've seen this concept before, that perhaps it should be permitted even according to Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes will say that a home is considered to be as if it's filled in. And because it's as if it's filled in, and because it's filled in, Rabosa, then even Rav Sheshes would agree that Lamaisi, you could use the branches that are within three tefachim of the ground. Kamash Malon, that's not the case. Kamash Malon, that Rav Sheshes would not agree in this particular situation and would still disagree with Rabba. Okay. Tanan, Shroshav Gavon Mina Oretz Gimel Tefachim. We'll say if you have the roots that extend from the earth three tefachim, Lo Yesh Shevalein, you should not sit on them. Hechidami, what's the case? Idlo hadri kipi pshita. So we'll say, what's the case? If the roots don't extend back downwards and they just extend above three, then obviously you can't sit on them because they're above three. I understand that. Elalav avagav the hadri kipi. Rather, what must it be saying? It must be saying that even though the roots go up and then go back down, you still can't use it. Which would seem to be a raya to Rabosai, which would seem to be a raya to Rav Sheshes, not like Rabba. To which the Gemara says, lo. The olam da hadri kipi. No, in reality, the roots do extend back downwards. V'ha kamash malon da'af agav tzido echad shava la'aretz. And here, the chiddush of the Brisa is teaching me what? That even though lemaisa, one side of it is level with the ground, you still can't use it. Look at Rashi. First wide line of Rashi. Tzido echad shava la'aretz. Shakarka gavoa b'tzido echad. We're dealing over here with the case of where the earth on one side is level with the root. So we'll say, interestingly enough, that with the chiddush over here is that even Rabba would agree in a case where, let's say, also you have a root that extends, and on one side, the earth is as tall as the root extension, but on three sides of the root, it's not. Even Rabba would agree that in that particular case, we have to look at the dimensions vis-a-vis the three sides and not vis-a-vis the one, and therefore this would be a root that's lemala megimel and therefore not usable on Shabbos. Tan Rabbanon, shrashe ilan shegavon mina aretz gimel tefachim. So say if you have roots of a tree that are taller than three tefachim of the earth, o shiyish chalal tachtein gimel tefachim, or there is a space underneath them and that's three tefachim. So we'll say this is picture 356. So in this case over here, you could just see that between, let's say, the trunk of the tree, between the trunk of the tree, you can see that there's an elevation. You have the tree, a trunk that extends out, and let's say another soil or a rock or something, which creates a chalal, a cavity, a hollow area underneath the branch. So, even though on one side it's level with the earth, you can't use it. Why? Now the Gemara gets into the reason. Because on Shabbos we do not go up into a tree. We don't go ahead and hang anything on a tree. And we don't go ahead and lean on a tree. You shouldn't go up on a tree, you shouldn't climb a tree on Erev Shabbos and remain there for the entirety of Shabbos. Echad ilan, whether that's true with a tree, the echad kol behema, and it's true with an animal as well. So we'll say again, it's interesting that the Gemara groups these two things together. So interestingly enough, why can't I ride an animal on Shabbos? All right, so it's interesting enough, with animals there's two issues. One is the din of shvisas behema, that an animal has to rest, but another gzera, in situations where shvisas behema doesn't apply, which we're not going to get into right now, there's another issue, which is you may come to break off a branch in order to, people use it to hit the animal, to make it move. So again, everything we've seen over here in this particular Mishnah about the prohibitions of using trees and the roots that extend upwards of three tefachim that have the status of trees is all based on this basic idea, which is that we don't make any kind of usage on trees on Shabbos out of concern that one may come to detach a branch. However, aval bor, siach uma'ara v'geder, metapes v'ola, metapes v'yored, afilu hin mea ama. But Rabbi said, the good news is, if you want to climb into a pit, or into a cistern, or into a cave, or some kind of fence, you could go up, you could climb, you could do whatever you want, even if they're 100 amos deep, I would say it's not totally true because there are certain things we don't do on Shabbos because of Ovda Dechol, there is a weekly activity. But nevertheless, the Gemara is talking about over here is that technically speaking, there's no prohibition associated with it. Because obviously in these areas, there's no fear of detaching anything.
What happens if it's a treehouse?
I'm sorry, can't go in.
What did you say?
There could be a treehouse up to it.
You can't go into it.
Why not? Better get your ladder up to it. You're not even touching the tree.
It's Tishtam Shus with the tree still. Of course you're touching the tree. If you climb a ladder onto the tree, you're touching the tree.
You use a ladder, and if there are no branches, there's a treehouse sitting
on it. No, but the act of sitting in the treehouse is living in the tree.
Could you go up before Shabbos?
Is it treehouse?
Is this like Lamaiso? That's what I'm saying. <It's a lot. laughs> What do you like, Lord of the Flies? I'm saying.
You're
going to
build a treehouse.
No,
so have permanent houses.
In trees, yeah.
Costa Rica, they have that.
That's
all. Right, Mamish. Mamish, I tell them to call me. So says the Gemara. So truth is, you'll see, this is actually this sugi over here. So the Gemara says, never in a million years I think this will be Lamaisa, but okay, it's good. Baruch Hashem, so listen to this. The Gemara says the following. Tani chada im ala mutra leirei. So we'll say, listen to this. Now we're going to see two conflicting braisos. So one braisa says, if you went up into the tree, you could come down. And the other braisa says, if you went up, you're stuck. Right? You can't come down on Shabbos. So obviously the Gemara is looking at this as contradictory braisos. So it says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan mi ba'ol yom, kan mi shecha shecha. So the Gemara says it's not a contradiction. One is when you went up during the day, and one is when you went up at night. So apparently, again, what does that mean? If you went up before Shabbos, so Chazal didn't penalize. Because remember, Rabbi said, this is all Dinei Dirabanan. So if you went up before Shabbos, which means you did not go, you went up Beheter, Chazal allowed you to come back down. But if you went up Be'isser, i.e. you went up on Shabbos, Chazal said you can't come back down. The other possibility is, Havah HaMishech HaShecha. Now, both cases, both prices are talking about where you went up when it was already Shabbos. For Lokash, and it's not a contradiction, Kan B'Shogeg, Kan B'Mezid. One is when you went up, Rabbi saying you didn't realize that it was usher to go ahead and ascend the tree on Shabbos, and if a Chazal didn't penalize you, they allowed you to come back down. And the other is where you went up intentionally knowing that it was usher. Chazal penalized you, you can't come back down. V'Bai Seima. The other possibility is, Havah HaShogeg. Both cases are Shogeg. V'Hacha, B'Kansu Shogeg Atu Mezid Kamifligin. Rabbi saying you've seen this concept before, as do we penalize an inadvertent transgressor lest you come to transgress intentionally? Mar Savar Kansinon. One Bryce says, yes, there's a penalty. Umar Savar Lo Kansinon. The other Bryce says, there's no penalty. Amar Rav Unabrei Rav Yoshua Kitanoi. So Rav Unabrei Rav Yoshua said, it's like a machlokes tanoi. And he turned in, but this is actually a very interesting case. Just the background to this is, karbanos require, Kohanim have to listen very carefully to this, because karbanos require what's called matan damim. Matan damim means there's a sprinkling of blood. We say, when we say ezum akomon in the morning in karbanos, so there's all the different, you go through all the different karbanos, and each of them have a different number of sprinklings. So some karbanos have one sprinkling of blood, some karbanos have four sprinklings of blood. So now the Gemara is going to deal with an interesting case of where bloods get mixed. Bloods?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. No, you can do that.
You could do bloods?
Yeah.
Isn't that a gang?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, the groups, right, okay. So bloods, right, blood from different carbonos gets mixed up. So let's say you have a carbon asham gets combined with it. The bloods get mixed up. So now you have one sprinkle blood mixed up with four sprinkle bloods. So the Gemara says, well, actually, I'm jumping ahead. Let's go in the order over here. Hanitana b'matana achos. So we'll say, let's say you have two different types of carbonos, but the good news is each of these carbonos was only a one sprinkle carbon. So right, so it's not a problem. You do one sprinkling of that blood and that's enough. Matan dalid. Let's say you have again two bloods from two different carbonos, but the good news is what? They're both four sprinkle bloods, so not a problem. Yinatnu b'matan dalid. Not a problem either. You'll just do one sprinkling of four. Or one act of one. You could sprinkle it four times and you could take care of both carbonos. Matan arba mematan achas. But here's where it gets complicated. Let's say you have the blood of a carbon that was supposed to be sprinkled once that got mixed in with the blood of a carbon that was supposed to be sprinkled four times. So now the shaila is, what do you do? Listen, this is very interesting. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yidnatnu b'matan dalet. Rabbi Eliezer says, you sprinkle the blood four times. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Yinatnu b'matana achas, and Rabbi Yoshua says you only sprinkle it once. Watch this. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "Hari hu over al batigra." So he says, Rabbi Yoshua, how can you only allow for sprinkling once? Because we will say batigra. What's batigra? Batigra means you can't take away from the mitzvos, right? You can't detract. So the problem is if you have blood that's supposed to be sprinkled four times and you sprinkle it one time, you're detracting from the mitzvah. Ha, I'm the Rabbi Yeshua. Harehu over b'bal tosif. But Rabbi Yeshua says back to Rabbi Elazar, but one second, there's also a prohibition to what? To do extra. You can't add on to a mitzvah. And for you to go ahead and take blood that's supposed to be sprinkled once and sprinkle it four times, then what? You're adding on to the mitzvah. Rabbi Elazar, listen to this. So Rabbi Elazar says, remember, Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that l'maisa, you go ahead and you sprinkle it four times. Rabbi Elazar says, lo amra elekishu ba'atzmo. Amr Rabbi Yoshua, excuse me, I skipped over. Amr Rabbi Yoshua, re over ba'atzmo. Amr Rabbi Elazar, lo amru elekishu ba'atzmo. So we'll say, look at Rashi. So Rashi says over here, So Rabbi Elazar says, "Lo Amar El Kishu Batzmo." So Rabbi Elazar says, "We'll say, when do you go ahead and you add? And when do you violate Bal Tosif? That's mamish when your kavana is to actively add on to the mitzvah itself." But here, kavana is not to add on to the mitzvah itself. What's your kavana of your rabbosai? To sprinkle four times because you have four sprinkled blood mixed in over here. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, "Lo Ne'emar Bal Tigra." So Rabbi Yeshua says, fine, same thing. It's not considered to be, I will say, detracting unless what? Your kavan is to mamish diminish the mitzvah itself, and that's not your intention over here. The old Amr Rabbi Yeshua, kishenasata avarta al bal tosif, va'asisa ma'aseh biyodecha. Rabbi Yeshua has a fascinating idea over here. Remember, Rabbi Yeshua is the one who said what? One sprinkle. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I'll tell you why. Because if you do four, you know what you're doing? You are being over on Bal Tosif Biyadayim. He'll say, see, if you do four, you're doing an active Maisa that's going above and beyond what is required at least for one of the bloods that are mixed in there. However, Vasisa Maisa Biyadecha, Kishalona Sata, Avarta al Bal Tigra, Velo Asisa Maisa Biyadecha. So Rabbi Yoshua has a fascinating idea. Rabbi Yoshua essentially says that, look, I'm not in any way debating the fact that when you just sprinkle once, that you are taking away from the mitzvah of sprinkling four. But Rabbi Yeshua says, here's the choice. I could sprinkle four and actively add on to a mitzvah, or I could sprinkle one and passively detract. Right? Because remember, the addition is done actively, the detraction...
Omission.
Retraction. The not doing something is done passively. And Rabbi Yoshua says, Rabbi Yoshua, when you have a choice. Now again, either way you're going to have to violate. Rabbi Yoshua is saying is either way you're going to end up violating. But the question is, should you violate actively or should you violate passively? And Rabbi Yoshua says, I'd rather violate passively. And therefore, again, that's what Rabbi Yoshua says, just sprinkle once, even though what? You are clearly not fulfilling the mitzvah of the Gabe, one of the bloods. Rabbi Eliezer, da amar hasam kum ase adif. So we'll say, remember, why are we bringing all of this in? Because remember, we had two brisos, right? What were the two brisos? We're not talking about carbonos, we're talking about trees, right? Because there's lemaisa in Puerto Rico, right? So understand, we're talking about the trees. And we had two brisos. One brisa said that if you go up, you can't come down. One brisa said that if you go up, you can come down. So the Gemara wants to suggest that the two different brisos are reflective of the views of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Because we'll say, what do we see from the brisa of carbonos? Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion that if either way you're going to violate, but one is an active violation, one is a passive violation, then what? We'd rather you be passive. Yet, interestingly enough, we see that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that if you have a choice, we allow you to do the active violation, so to speak. If the active violation will save you from other prohibitions. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Hasan Kumase Adiv, it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that when you have the four sprinkled blood mixed in with one sprinkled blood, so what do? According to Rabbi Eliezer, you sprinkle four times. Rabbi Eliezer would say, in that case over here, when you went up in the tree, what should you do? Get down. Why, Rabbi Eliezer? Because remember, see, here's the part to remember. Actively staying in the tree on Shabbos also comes with its own iser. Remember, it's not the pshat that when you stay in the tree, let's say you go up and you stay there, you're not doing anything. Because remember, midrabanan, every moment that you're remaining in the tree is considered what? Yeah. Is considered active usage of the tree, which is a rabbinic prohibition. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that what? We want to diminish your prohibition. So we'd rather you do something actively dramatic and get down from the tree than to remain in the tree and violate Shabbos every moment. Hachanami Yerit. But according to Yeshua, he says what? We'd rather you go with one sprinkling of blood. Even though what? Even though we know that you're missing out. We know that you are taking away from the mitzvah. But better to be passive. What would Rabbi Yeshua say? Hachanami lo yeret. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua, there's a fascinating idea that Rabbi Yeshua would say in that case, also stay in the tree. Passivity is better. So the Gemara says, dimalohi. Perhaps that's not necessarily true. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Eliezer hasam kumasei adif. When does Rabbi Eliezer say that kumasei action, right, action is better than elitka avid mitzvah? So maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds that in the case of the commission of a mitzvah. Here he's Rabbi Eliezer is going to tell you, sprinkle four times. Aval hocha de lo avid mitzvah hachanami lo yered. But who's to say that he's going to tell you to come down from the tree? Coming down from the tree is not a mitzvah. Ve'inami, furthermore, ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yeshua hasam shevi al ta'aseh odif. Furthermore, when does Rabbi Yeshua say that passivity, shevi al ta'aseh, is preferable? Ela, omabez, de lo ka'avid isura. That's when you're not violating an isser. Aval hachon te ka'avid isura hachon amid yared. So we'll say, when does Rabbi Yeshua say that shevi al ta'aseh is adif? That's when your passivity is not an active performance of an aveira. But in this case over here, remaining in the tree every single moment is an active violation of a din de rabbanon. Maybe he will tell you to come down. Tani Shabbos said, the point is, therefore, the Gemara is saying, right, it might be apples and oranges. So the Gemara says the following, Tani Chada, Echad Ilan Lach, Ve'echad Ilan Yavesh, Ve'echad Ilan Yavesh. Shabbos said, one price says that the prohibition to use a tree on Shabbos applies to both what we'll call a moist tree, which seems to be a live tree, versus an Ilan Yavesh, a dried out tree. Tanya Idach, and another brisa says, and the other brisa says, when do we say that there's a prohibition to use the tree? That's only with a moist tree. But with a dry tree, it would be mutter. Now, I will say, the logic would seem to be like this. According to the second brisa, so the prohibition, remember, as you said before, the rabbinic prohibition to use a tree on Shabbos is for what? Is why? Why? Kotzer. You may, now, I will say, when is there an instance of kotzer? Only when an object is in a potential growth state. But if a tree essentially is dead, and therefore there's no growth, there's no sustenance being taken from the ground, then lemaisa, there's no prohibition to go ahead and rip off a branch.
But the branches break off easier.
Right, but the Gemara would suggest over here that there's no prohibition in that. Because the ikar over here of kotzer is you're uprooting something from the place where it grows.
Well, it's not the breakage.
It's not the breakage. It's the dislodging it from the place where it receives nutrition and nourishment. That's the idea. Let me see. That's what the Gemara is suggesting now. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Lo kash. So we'll say again. Obviously, here now we have conflicting brisos. The first brisa says that the rabbinic prohibition applies both when the tree is live or when it's moist and when it's dry. And the second brisa says it only applies when it's moist but not when it's dry. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a kasha. Rabbi say one is talking about a tree where the trunk regenerates, and one is talking about a case where the trunk does not regenerate. So Rabbi say lemaisa again in that case. Okay, so the Gemara says gizomachlif yavesh karisle. So are you saying then that when the trunk regenerates that's going to be called the yavesh? Elolokashia kan bimosachama kan bimosagishamim. One is talking about in the summertime. What is talking about in the rainy season? Look at Rashi. B'imosachama, Rashi says, Yavish mutter. The Gemara is going to suggest that in the summertime, so going ahead and climbing or using a dry tree is going to be okay. Delech afilu mishumarasayin, shari nikr lakol shu yavish, she'enem otzi alin. So I want to say, interestingly enough, apparently it's during the summertime when you could tell which trees are alive and which trees are not. Because the live trees, again, have leaves, and the dead trees do not, as opposed to the winter time when what? Where everything looks dead. So the Gemara says the following, So the Gemara says, but one second, ha nitri piri. But again, during the summertime, isn't there a concern about this lodging fruit? Bidaleki piri, there's no peros. Vaha kanitri kisni. Aye, but what about the fact that you're going to dislodge branches? So the Gemara says, big duda. Because Rabbi Yehuda means a trunk that does not have any branches. Ini, but is that true? Vaha, Rav Ikla, La'af Satya, Va'asar Beguda, Va'asar Beguda. I, but Rav went to Afsatya. So also Afsatya is a place. And he prohibited them from even climbing or using a trunk. Rav Bika Matza Ugadar Gadarba. So Rav literally found a field and he erected a fence around it. I will say, we've seen this terminology before, that Rav, apparently in this particular place, they were not very careful with their Shabbos observance. So Rav felt that he had to make additional prohibitions, additional protective fences to ensure their keeping of Shabbos. Rabosai, the way we paskin Lamaisa is that the rabbinic prohibition against climbing or using trees applies to both trees that are live, what we call lach, as well as yavish. It's what's called the low plug. We do not make any kind of distinction with the nature of the tree. The rabbinic prohibition applies to all trees. Weiter. Amar Rabbi, Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav As. Asur la'adam shi'halech ha'gabi ha'savim b'shabbos. Also a very interesting statement. So, sorry. Rami Bar Abba says, in the name of Rav, Rav Asi, a person is not permitted to walk on grass on Shabbos. Why? Mishum shenemar. Because the pasuk says, "Va'atz beraglayim chodesh." So, here the Gemara is quoting a pasuk from Mishlei. Literally translated, it means, "He who is quick with his feet will be a sinner." And I will say, "What's Rabbi Abba's concern over here?" Rabbi Abba's concern is you're going to come to go ahead and uproot the grass. Come to uproot the grass, and uprooting the grass obviously could be an issur d'orais. So, therefore, you can't walk on grass on Shabbos. Okay. Tani chada mutar lelecha gabi asav mishabbos. The tanya idach aser. And I will say, now the Gemara, we have two conflicting brisos. One brisa says you can walk on grass on Shabbos, and the other brisa says you cannot. So the one says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Ha belachim ha beyevashim. One is talking about moist grass, and one is talking about dry grass. I will say, it's interesting, look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, lochim, aser to have a totally shivation kitzlushin dom. So also listen to this. So the one I want to suggest over here, that moist grass is problematic. Why? Because the mice is still attached to the ground and clearly still receiving some nourishment, as opposed to dry grass, which essentially is dead grass, which is not receiving any kind of nourishment. If it's not receiving nourishment, then what? Then there's no din of kotzer, right? There's no din. Remember, there also the whole idea of kotzer, of katsira, is oke davar mimokum gidulo, uprooting something from where it grows. If there's no growth happening, no nourishing, no nourishment happening, there's no iser. The same other possibilities, hava habalachim, both prices are talking about moist grass. So what are the two brises talking about? One is talking about during the summer, and one ultimately is talking about during the winter. V'ibayisem, or the other possibility is, hava habi mosachama, both are talking about during the summer. V'lokashya, had the saimasane, had the lo saimasane. Also, it's interesting. One is talking about where you're wearing shoes, one is talking about where you're not wearing shoes. And I will say, which one is which? Interestingly enough, the brisa says it's usher is where you're walking barefoot. It's very interesting. Why? It's actually a little illogical, because the grass could get stuck in your toes, right? And ultimately, you're uprooted from that, as opposed to a shoe where you have a flat sole. The grass is not going to get caught in anything. The other possibility is, both brises talk about where you're wearing shoes. Velo kashya, hada isle ukte, hada lo isle ukte. So I guess what we call this today, ukte is spikes, literally. I guess it cleats. You know, you wear one. So the bride says you can't do it when you're wearing cleats. And the other says, well, see, obviously, the whole chop of the spike is what? What's the chop of the spike? It's traction, right? The whole chop of traction is it's going to dig into the ground. Both are dealing where you have spikes. The ha de isle sharcha, ha de lesle sharcha. So we'll say again, ultimately, the Gemara says, one is talking about a case, Rashi says, sharcha is psila aruka sha'esiv aruch. So one is talking about long grass, one is talking about short grass. Long grass apparently is easier to get tangled on the spike, as opposed to short grass, which is not. Rabbi said, look how the Gemara ends. The ha idna de kaimulon ki Rabbi Shimon kulhu shari. But the truth is, for our purposes, now that we pass like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi say, what is Rabbi Shimon? It's taking us back to our Shabbos. It's what is Rabbi Shimon hold? Davar sheino miskaven is mutter. Right? Rabbi Shimon holds that lemaisa. So you are not chayiv for any unintentional act. Davar sheino miskaven. If you don't have kavana to go ahead and do something, even if it could potentially can occur. Right? Rabbi say, again, remember, it's different than saying it definitely will occur. But as, so if there's the potential for a prohibition to occur, but it's not your kavana, then we pass like Rabbi Shimon that it's a mutter. Therefore, we'll say, we walk on grass on Shabbos. Now, we'll say, again, that being said, you shouldn't wear cleats on grass on Shabbos because that might fall more into the realm of a psikresha. A psikresha is an action, that a malacha that is definitely going to occur, where even Rabbi Shimon says he can't do that on Shabbos. But assuming that stam, a person is walking in their regular shoes, or for that matter, even barefoot, we hold that a person could walk on Shabbos, because we hold again, since it's not my intention to uproot the grass, even though it's possible that it will happen, since that's not my kavana, then Lamai says mutter on Shabbos.
Same thing in the tree, then.
I'm sorry?
You should climb a tree.
Same thing in the tree.
Climb the tree.
Climb to break the branches.
No, but that's a gzera d'rabbanon. Chazal said you can't do that. Chazal said, Lamaisi, Chazal made a gzera against usage of the tree. So my kavanas don't make a difference anymore. My kavanas don't make a difference. No matter what my kavana is, to break a branch or to not break a branch, Chazal said, no ishtam shos bi'ilon. Chazal never made those gzeros in other situations. That's the simple distinction. Right, well, so the Gemara goes weiter. So we'll say, now, interestingly enough, once the Gemara quoted that pasuk from Mishlei, the Gemara now is going to use that discussion in a different context. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "Va'amrai bar chama amar avasi, aser la'adam sheyakov ish ishto l'dvar mitzvah." A person should not force his wife to have relations. That's what it means. Dvar mitzvah over here means relations. So Rashi says over here, l'dvar mitzvah tashmish. So a person should not compel upon his wife to have relations. Shneamar. Va'atz b'raglayim chote, that he who is quick. Now, say over here, the Gemara is understanding raglayim is a metaphor, is a euphemism for intimacy. That he who pushes someone into intimacy, his wife into intimacy, is a chote. Va'amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kalakofe ishto l'dvar mitzvah. Whoever compels his wife. Now, say when they say compel, what it's saying is, if a man realizes that his wife is just totally not interested, that he shouldn't push her, he shouldn't force her. I want to be very careful when I use the word force. Yeah. Listen, I'm not using the word force chas v'shalom in like the form of a violation. Forcing means over here pushing her to do something that she doesn't want to do. So she may submit to her husband, but she doesn't want to. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, whoever forces his wife to engage in relations, Havin lo banim she'ena mehugan, has unworthy children. Rabbi Shimon says, again, this device is a theme that you find throughout Shas, that very much the nature and character of children are very much determined by the avira, by the atmosphere in which conception occurs. So we see that we'll see this later on in a number of other mesechtos. Amar Rav Ika bar Chinana, Mikra, what's the pasuk that supports this idea? Gam below das nefesh lo tov. So we'll say again, he quotes over here from the pasuk. The pasuk is the same pasuk actually from Mishlei, that gam below das, without proper intent, which the Gemara is understanding over here to a reference to the woman. If the woman does not willingly engage, doesn't really want to be intimate, nefesh lo tov, it has a child, it has an impact on the nefesh of the child. Tanya Amiyachi, a brisa that supports this. Gam below das nefesh lo tov. What does it mean when the pasuk says, without proper intent, it will yield a nefesh that's not good? Zeh kofe ishto l'dvar mitzvah. This is a man who pushes his wife, who forces his wife into relations. Va'atz b'raglayim chote. And what does it mean that he who is quick with his feet ultimately is a sinner? Zeh ha'boel v'shoneh. This refers to a man who has relations with his wife and then again has relations a second time, repeatedly. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is that a bad thing?" V'ha amar Rava, but Rava said, "Harotze la'asos kolbanav zecharim." If a person wants to have male children, yival v'yishne. So apparently, the school of having male children ultimately is having relations and repeating. So Rashi points out here something very interesting. Yival v'yishne. Look at Rashi. Yival v'yishne. Shemachmos. It's so quiet now. Okay, Yivol v'Yishna, right? So Rashi says over here, Shemachmas bia rishona nisava aisha. So what Rashi says over here, what does this mean? That as a result of the first act of relations, the woman becomes desirous. V'holbisha tava ukisheba bia shnia shimazras tchila v'heicha dehimazras tchila yoled ezacha. So what the Gemara elsewhere explains that the gender of the child the gender of the child often is determined by who climaxes first in the act of relations. That ultimately, again, if the wife climaxes first, then ultimately that's a skula for ultimately male children and vice versa. So Rashi says, so the Gemara says over here that often what will happen is in the first act of relations, the man will climax first, but then ultimately if the relations are repeated, then the woman is more desirous and she'll climax first. And as a result, the Gemara says, so the point over here is we see competing brisos in terms of ultimately is Yival the Yishna, is it good to repeat the act of relations or not? So Gemara says, Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Kan ledas, kan shelo ledas. Yes, Yival the Yishna, having repeated act of relations is a very nice thing, as long as what? As long as the woman is desirous of it. But as opposed to a case where the husband is compelling upon the wife to do it, then ultimately it's not a skula for anything. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan. Kol isha shetavas baila ledvar mitzvah. I'll say another interesting gemara. Any woman who asks her husband for intimacy, right? So any woman who asks her husband to be intimate to her, with her, havin lan banim sha'afilu b'doro shal moshe lo hayu kimosan. This is quite amazing. We'll be blessed with children that are greater than even those who lived in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu.
How rare it is.
What? Adam Edelman. You know who will be getting a recording of this year. I'm going to ask for no more input for the remainder of this year. So the Gemara says the following. And I will say, the logic behind this is that, again, when a woman petitions her husband, so yes, it comes from a place of desire, but it also comes from a place of desiring to have children. Right, desiring ultimately again to bring additional neshamas into the world. So the Gemara says, "The ilu bedaros shal Moshe." It says by the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ksiv havu lachem anoshim chachamim unevonim v'yedun mishetechem." So I will say this is ultimately when Moshe Rabbeinu wants to appoint leaders within the ranks of Klal Yisrael. So it says that set aside for yourselves or appoint men who are chachamim, wise, nevonim, understanding, yeduim, known in their tribes. Uksiv. It's interesting enough, but yet when they came to appoint leaders, they only appointed people who are chachamim and yiduim. The ilu nevonim lo eshkach. But interestingly enough, it didn't use the word nevonim. Right, this navon wasn't found. The ilu gabe leia. But amazingly enough, when it says by leia imenu, what does it say by leia imenu? Vateitze leia likraso, vatomer lo, vatomer elai tavo. So amazing enough, about both sides. It says something by Leah Imina, which is quite amazing. Leah comes to Yaakov, and she says to Yaakov, you're coming with me tonight. Right, tonight you're with me, which was Leah Imina saying to Yaakov, I desire you tonight. Right, so she actively was engaging him. Uksiv, what does it say by the children of Leah Imina? Ubimne Yisachar, and I remember that night she conceived, and that child she named Yisachar. Ubimne Yisachar, Yode Bina Leitim. La das ma ya'ase Yisrael, Rashayim asayim v'chalachim apiyim. So we'll say, what's the point over here? That ultimately it calls B'nai Yisachar Yodei Bina. So amazingly enough, in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, they couldn't find Nevonim. But yet the child that Leah Imenu had on the night that she asked Yaakov Avinu for relations, that she asked him, she engaged him for intimacy, that child was known as a Navon. Ini, is that true? So we'll say, now the Gemara seems to say over here, that it's a good thing for a woman to actively ask her husband for intimacy. So Gemara says, is that true? That's a good thing? V'ha'amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Eser klolos niskala l'chava. There were ten curses, meaning 10 punishments that came as a result of the sin of Chava. Dichsiv, Ela isha amar harbe arbe. So now the Gemara is going to go through, the Gemara just quotes the beginning of that pasuk. Now the Gemara is going to break down the pasuk and tell us the different punishments. Number one, Elu shnei tipei damim. The first thing refers to the two drops of blood. Echad dam nida, ve'echad dam besun. So both say the fact that a woman menstruates every single month, the Gemara understands as linked to the punishment of Chava. The idea dam besunim refers to hymenal blood. The idea that the first act of relations, A, is painful, and B, also produces blood. Itzvonech, What does it mean, ultimately, your difficulties? Zeh tsar gidol banim. That refers ultimately to the difficulty of raising children. Veheronech, what does it mean, your pregnancy? Zeh tsara ibor. That refers to the pain of, just the difficulty of pregnancy. Be'etzev tel dibanim, you'll have difficulty in childbirth. Kimashma'o, that doesn't even need an explanation. Ve'elishech tishukaseich, and literally you will desire, or you'll have a teshuka, you'll have a yearning for your husband. Melamed sha'ishta mishtokekes abayla b'sha'a shiyotze laderech. It says that sometimes a woman has a greater yearning for her husband when he's leaving than when he's home. B'huyim shabach, he will rule over you. Melamed sha'isha tova'as b'leif v'ha'ish tovea b'peh. Interestingly enough, that apparently one of the distinctions between a man and a woman is that a man will tell his wife exactly what he wants, right? But a woman ultimately may desire it, but for some reason may not want to articulate it. Zohi mida tova ba'anoshim. And ultimately the Gemara says, this actually is a good mida, meaning the Gemara in the sense that part of the tzniut, part of the modesty of Jewish women, is that they don't, whereas opposed to sometimes the man is a little bit more forward, and will directly ask his wife for relations. So the wife sometimes will be a little bit more reticent, or not reticent is the wrong word, a little bit more reserved in how she talks about matters of intimacy. But the Gemara says this actually is a good midah. Ki ka'aminon demiratziat artsuye. So the Gemara says, no, what are we talking about over here? That ultimately, even though a woman may not say it explicitly, when a woman acts towards her husband in a way that clearly conveys that she is interested in being intimate with him, and she initiates, says the Gemara, that's ultimately the skula for having incredibly righteous and pious children. So the Gemara says, Baiter, Hani Sheva Havyon. So we'll say now the Gemara says, by the way, we only enumerated 7 different punishments, but the Braisa said that there are 10. Ki Asrav Dimi Amar Atufa Ke'evel, that the woman remains, that as a result of the sin of Chava, the woman remains wrapped like an Eva, like a mourner. Umenuda mikol adam, and she is literally cut off from everyone. V'chavusha bebeis ha'asurin, and she's incarcerated in a jail. So what does this mean? So Gemara says, my menuda mikol adam. So what does it mean that she is cut off from every man? Ilema mishum da'asra la yichud. If you say that it means that she can't be alone with another man, so ihunami astrale yichud. So yichud, even though yichud, remember, is rabbinic prohibition, right? But yichud also applies to a man. Ela da'asru lebeitrei. Rather, what it means is a woman can't marry two men, as opposed to, at least biblically, a man can marry two women. B'masni satana, in the Braisa it says, migadeles seyar kililis, that ultimately women grow their hair long like lilis. And we'll say lilis, we'll talk about in later on, but lilis is a shade, is a demon. Whatever shadim are or are not, but lilis is a female shade, apparently is supposed to be exceptionally beautiful. So apparently in the aftermath of the sin of Chava, there's almost like an innate female emulation of Lilis to grow their hair out long. V'yosheves umishatenes mayim kibehema. And ultimately, a woman sits and urinates like an animal. Right? As opposed to a man that urinates standing up, or urinates sitting down. We'll go into this a little bit more in just a moment. V'naases kar lebailo. And she becomes ultimately like the pillow for her husband. So what does this mean? So I'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. So Rashi says over here, Kar lebayla, shehu lemala bishas tashmish. Because again, the Gemara says that the man is on top at the time of intimacy.
It's too much.
It's too much, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's such a pure neshama, I apologize. And what happens? And she becomes literally like a pillow for her husband. Rashi says that also. So interestingly enough, the Gemara understands this over here as a form of subservience. That ultimately, again, she's underneath and the man is on top. Although the Gemara is going to change this around in just a moment. So the Gemara says, V'idach hani shevachula. Now, Bosai, the other opinion, who only counts 7 punishments, says that these last 3 are actually not bad things. That's a shevach. It's actually good for her. Why? So we'll say, what does it mean when the Pasuk says that we can learn from the animals of the earth and from the birds of the sky we can become wiser? What does it mean we can learn from animals? Zoprida. This refers to the mule. Shekoras umeshtenes maim. So we'll say we learn from the mule about sitting while urinating, meaning apparently the idea that the Gemara says is that the act of sitting while relieving oneself is actually a more modest way of taking care of one's needs, as opposed to the way a man does it, which is in a very public fashion. What does it mean that we'll learn? And Rabbi said, by the way, the Gemara doesn't say, but Rashi points this out. So remember, the Gemara is saying over here that the Gemara is not saying, according to other opinion, the act of sitting while urinating is not a punishment, just the opposite. It's actually a shevach for the woman, that she relieves herself in a more tsanu, in a more modest fashion than the man does. Similarly with the relations. The fact that the woman is on the bottom is not a bad thing, according to the Gemara. Rather, what it's saying over here is that lemaisa, the man is the one who has to expend more energy in the act of relations than the woman does. Furthermore, the Gemara says, and we can learn a lot from the birds as well. So what does that refer to? Zet tarnagol. We'll say this refers to the rooster, shemefayes, who knows how to appease his mate, the achar kach boa. So we'll say, interestingly enough, from the tarnagol, you learn that you have to first put one has to first put their spouse in the right mood prior to relations, and then only afterwards can relations occur. Amar Rav Yochanan, el male lo nitna Torah, if the Torah was not given to us, hayu lemeidin snius mechatul, we would be able to learn modesty from a cat, the gezel minamala. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi. Mechatul, Rashi says over here, she'eno matil rei b'fnei adam mechaset tzavas. Well, this is very interesting. We know that a cat does not relieve itself in public, and when it does relieve itself, what does it do? It covers off its waist. It covers over its waist. So Gemara is saying over here, we learn many of our lessons from the Torah. But amazingly enough, if we did not have the lessons from the Torah, we could learn many lessons from the natural world as well. So we learn modesty from the cat. We learn theft, or the prohibition against theft, from the ant. Because we'll say, what does the ant do? So the ant goes ahead and spends the warm months gathering its food, and it gathers its own food, so it doesn't have to take anything from anyone else. The arayos miyona. And we will learn the prohibition against adultery from the dove, because apparently the dove only remains with its mate. Derech eretz mitarnagol, and we'll be able to learn the right way in matters of intimacy from the rooster, because what does the rooster do? Shemefayis ve'achar kach boel. Because what does the rooster do? The rooster first appeases its mate, and then only afterwards engages in relations. So how does the rooster mimefayis? So let's get a couple of tips from the rooster, right? So how does the rooster appease its mate? So I want to point out something over here. What the Gemara is going to do is let's read it and then I'll explain it to you. So mimefayis, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hachi Kamala. This is what the rooster first says to its mate. Zabidna lech ziga de matulich ad karech. I'm going to buy you a coat that reaches your feet. So I guess the rooster has to promise, I'm going to buy you a beautiful coat. Now you'll get what the Gemara guesses from in just a moment. I'm going to buy you a beautiful coat that reaches your feet. And apparently, again, this is a pretty good offer, right? So therefore, again, the rooster's mate, I guess that's the chicken? Hen, right? So the hen accepts the offer and intimacy occurs. Lebasar hachi amarle, after the act of relations, the rooster says to the hen, Lishamtase lekarbalte dahu tarnagola, I isle velo zabnina lech.
Let the crest,
thank you. Let the crest, right, the feathers, remember the rooster has certain crest, has feathers on top, that the hen does not have. Let the crest of this rooster fall off if I have the ability to buy you this coat and I don't. And I will say, where does this whole thing come from? So then Rashi points out over here that what Chazal are doing is they're reading a script into this, meaning what the rooster does prior to having relations with the hen is it spreads its wings and it flaps them up and down, top to bottom. So the Gemara is saying, so apparently, so really what the rooster is ultimately promising the hen is what? Is a sense of security. Chazal, that's the opening of the wings up and down. Chazal are calling that security a coat from head to toe. So then the rooster has relations with the hen, and after it has relations, what does it do? It moves its head up and down. as if to say, "This I promised you, and I'll make good on my promise. And if I don't make good on my promise, then this crest that I have, which symbolizes my manhood, ultimately should fall off." All right, Tomo Sachs, stop over here.